Well, you know, we're really blessed to have Jorge Sadaka, you know, with us. He's a director of Chosen People Ministries in Toronto. He was here a number of years ago. He spoke in our Erev Shabbat Supper. I don't believe he actually spoke in our service itself, but, you know, he was making a tour across the West here. And so we're always wanting to encourage our congregation to become familiar with other Messianic ministries that are reaching out to Jewish people. And so Chosen People Ministries have been a ministry for many, many years. And so Jorge has been leading this for, I'm not sure how many years, probably 6 years now. So anyways, he's going to come up and introduce himself and share us a little bit about Chosen People Ministries and then to share with us the word for today. All right, so God bless and thank you so much for coming, Jorge.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Rabbi Cal, for the opportunity and invitation. We have a PowerPoint. I don't know if it'll work, but if it doesn't work, I know what I'm supposed to say. So we'll follow along. Jorge is Spanish for George. I was born in Spain, raised in Argentina, Uruguay, here in the U.S., and now in Canada for 6 years. Sedaka, from, you know, Hebrew name, from Tzadik. But I would say I'm righteous not because of my last name, but because Yeshua made me righteous. So we got that out of the way. My father was the first one to become a believer in Yeshua in his young years in Argentina through the work of one of the old leaders of the Hebrew Christian movement, Dr. Arthur Glass, who was a missionary, first one sent to outside of North America, and the first ones that he led to the Lord were my dad and his brother. So this man mentored him when the word mentoring was not common, and paid for his, then taught him the word. My father was called to ministry, taught him the word, and paid for his seminary training. And so my dad became a servant of the Lord to preach the word to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. So he was called to missions and also worked in some churches to help support himself. So we grew up with this Jewish, Messianic, Hebrew, Christian, and also Baptist world. And so, and we still are pretty normal. So I grew up in this, and my first call to ministry was music. I did music for many years, choirs, orchestras, singing, writing, and so forth. And then I, in the life with the Lord, if you want to be happy and serve the Lord faithfully, never say never to God. Because if you say never to God for something, He'll probably put you to do what you said you never do, or put you in the place you thought you said you'd never go. And that's what I did. And so now I learned, I never say never. I say, I don't think so. It's not my preference. I'd rather not, but I never say never. And so I had said I would never be a minister or a pastor or a leader in a preacher of the word. And that's what He called me to do after many years of music. And so I've done that. And I'll tell you some other story some other time. But anyway, so we served in Argentina and the U.S. with my wife Marta, and then God called us to be here. I thought I'd never come. Well, I didn't say never that time, but I was serving in the U.S. in the Atlanta area with another organization, a large mission organization, and Dr. Mitch Glazer, the president of Chosen People Ministries, was in the area. We're very good friends. My father was a missionary with Chosen People also, by the way. And so he came to Atlanta and, you know, we talked, we went for coffee. When they invite you for coffee, watch out. There is an agenda behind it. It's never just about coffee. And so we went for coffee. We talked about all kinds of things. All of a sudden he throws out, you know, we're looking for a new director in Canada. And I said, oh, okay. I had no idea. I said, okay, you know, if I know somebody, I'll pray for you, and I'll give you a name or something. No, we want you, he said. Oh. So after praying for 5 months, my wife and I, we finally ended up coming in 2010. And we're having a great time. God is blessing. And we have a lot of challenges, but it's an exciting thing. A lot of the things that I learned from my father and so forth is like going back to my roots. And so I'm enjoying. So thank you again. I travel all over. Let me show you quickly, see if we can work this out. See if let's just go. This is, for some, how many of you have not heard about Chosen People Ministries? Okay, most of you have then. That's great. Praise the Lord. So I won't, you know, we've been founded in 1894 by that man, Leopold Cohen, who was a Hungarian rabbi who became a follower of Yeshua. These are some of the things that we do, evangelism, discipleship. We have three congregations here in Canada, in Toronto, in Hamilton, and in Winnipeg. Some of the trips, mission trips, tours and so forth. We have if God is calling you to Jewish ministries, you don't know where to train. There are some places where you can train good, solid messianic training. Moody Bible Institute, Dallas Theological Seminary, some other places. But we have the Feinberg Center for Jewish Studies in Brooklyn. I have to tell you this. That's where our mission was born in 1894. So Dr. Glazer was looking for a place to go back there. They found Jewish funeral home, and we bought it in the middle of Orthodox Brooklyn. And when they found out who bought it, they weren't too happy, but that was after the fact. So we turned Jewish funeral home into a Feinberg Center for Jewish Studies. We offer a program there that is part of Fuller Seminary. And we have two congregations in the middle of Orthodox Brooklyn. So praise the Lord for that. And so we're doing. We've been in Canada since the 1940s. Let's go quickly through these things. That's when you give to our organization, we make sure that we're accountable to all these. Next. These are some of the places in the world where we have ministry, about 18 countries, and we have about 18 missionaries in Israel itself. So that's the nice looking one is my wife, Marta, and when he called us to come here, let's see what shows up. Oh, wonderful. It worked out. Before it wasn't showing. This is our mission, to pray for, evangelize, disciple, and serve Jewish people everywhere in Canada and around the world, and to partner with others like you to do the same. So we pray that you help us reach out Jewish community here and around Canada and around the world. Let's go on. These are some of our staff. You might know some of them. Ben Volman is the director in Toronto. Anna Borsova helps. Charles Hopin helps. Marcelo is our director in Hamilton. Michael Wadlinger was in Winnipeg. Now he moved to Quebec. And Alan and Nahama Weissman, I apologize for that. I cut Nahama in half. But they serve part in Canada, part in Israel. Go on. Just click several times there. This is what we do. We start small study, Bible study. Sometimes they become congregations. Sometimes they might not. We try to increase our missionary staff. So if God is calling you to Jewish ministries and you're open to going wherever the Lord leads, never say never. Talk to us because we're always looking for workers. You don't have to be Jewish to work with Chosen People Ministries, by the way. You have to have the right call. You have to have the love for Israel, the Lord, Israel, and the Jewish people, so that you can share the gospel with them. We train our missionaries here in our centers, and we want to expand our support base. Go to the next one. There's a few things we do. A week of evangelism every year in Toronto. We go to Shalom Toronto. We had a person from this area go this summer. We had 25 this summer. And we train you during the day. We feed you, of course. And then we go out to neighborhoods, to shopping areas where Jewish people are, to parks, and we share the gospel with Jewish people. Had great, great testimony. Then we did the same in Hamilton. We did a smaller scale, but we did to the university. And we passed out, and this I have some free stuff back there. Nothing for sale today, but some free stuff. And make sure you take some of these. Ifoundshalom.com. Have you heard of this? This we're doing in conjunction with another ministry in Israel called One for Israel. And we put about 60 or more, because we're adding more, 60 testimonies of Jewish people that have come to faith in Yeshua. And they last between 5 to 8 minutes. And they're on this website, ifoundshalom.com. If you don't know how to witness to a Jewish person, you're intimidated, you don't know what to say, whatever. They say, oh, you know, I'm Jewish, Jesus is up for me. Well, you know, there is a website where you have over 60 people that are Jewish and have faith in Jesus. So it's great because they can watch this in the privacy of their home without the rabbi or some others from the community watching. So it's a great thing. Just go ahead and click several things. This is some of our needs. Missionary in Montreal. Montreal, we lost one, and we're looking for one missionary in Ottawa, Halifax. Winnipeg, since Michael Wadling left, we're still looking for somebody to help us there. So pray about that. If you can't go, just pray for us and help us look. Go ahead. This is our Messianic Center in Toronto. We're wanting to add a second floor there. So pray that we can find the funds and so forth. Next, this is a little video. You can skip this one. It's a three-dimensional. We did last year, we did a campaign, Pray for Israel. You know, not many people pray for Israel. I know you do here, but a lot of people don't. And so we did this campaign on Facebook. We had 1,700 signatures. We sent it to Benjamin Netanyahu in a book and saying that there's at least 1,700 people in Canada praying for Israel and for his ministry, for everything. And he sends us a letter back thanking us for that. Go ahead to the next. Last year we did a big conference in Toronto. We called it the People, the Land, and the Future of Israel. We had Joel Rosenberg come and some of our staff from U.S. and other places. Tremendous. Marty Goetz did the music. We had about 1,000 people and turn up. And we had a great, again, if you email or call us, we have videos of all the conference sessions and stuff. We can send it to you. Next, this is a nice one we did. If you recall, January 27 on Holocaust Day, Mr. Trudeau put a statement out. I don't know if you read that. But then they changed it later. But the first one on Holocaust had no mention of the 6 million Jews, no mention of Israel, no mention of anti-Semitism. So we did another Facebook campaign and a sign-up thing. A petition that he would correct and remember that it was mostly against Jews. And so on that one, listen to me here. On that one, we had on Facebook over 150,000 people look at our website. We had over 25,000 people engaged in dialogue. Some of it is irreproducible because you have some good dialogue and some negative dialogue. But out of that, we had 2,700 people sign a petition. And we sent it to Mr. Trudeau. And then we got a letter saying that he had corrected and that he understands and so forth. So it was good. Anyway, go to the next one. See what we got coming. We did a video on the Four Feasts radio program. Go next, please. You can be involved because Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, which is the power of God to salvation. For all those who believe, click again. It says to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. You know that. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But click several times, and this is the last one. Click several times there. You can partner with us with prayer, mostly. And you have that that blue brochure. If you're not on our mailing list or if you're not praying specifically for our ministry, you know that there's a lot of ministries doing ministry in Israel for Jewish people. You'll be surprised to know that not all of them share the gospel with Jewish people. We do help and we do all the things, but we make sure that they know Yeshua. Because as you know well here, any Jew or Gentile without Yeshua is lost. So we make sure that they hear about Yeshua. So pray for us. If you in that brochure, you tear this out, you fill this out, and if you give it to me at the end, we know that you'll be praying for us. You don't have to give anything, just pray. That's what we want. And if you do fill that out, you'll receive our monthly magazine. There's some free issues out back there. Every month you'll receive our Chosen People magazine with articles and news about what God is doing in Israel and around the world. And so you can support. If the Lord leads you to support our ministry in any way you can, that'll be great too. And we want you to participate as much as you can. We have trips. We have trips to Israel, mission trips for young people. And I know you do tours too. You plan to go next year, I think. If you want to serve in mission opportunities, make sure that you connect with us. We'd love to work with you. And anyway, I'll be in the back, not for too long, because I've been here since Wednesday, preaching and speaking in different congregations and churches. And from here, I have to go back to Black Falls and do, of all things, in October, almost the end of October, of all things, I'm going to be doing a Passover banquet tonight in a church that has never had one. So pray for me that I travel right and I don't get a speeding ticket or anything. That's a little bit about our ministry. Thank you for the opportunity to share that. I want to share with the Word of God today in the minutes that we have left. It's a special time of the year, as you know. We've all celebrated in Toronto. We had great celebrations of the fall feasts and so forth. I was in Florida 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, in a Spanish church in Jacksonville, Florida, who also loves the Lord, loves Israel, loves the Jewish people, and are trying to reach all the community, including Jewish people, for the Lord. And they put a big Sukkot celebration. They have a big piece of land, so they build about 20 sukkahs around the property, and they invite the community. And every night, everybody brings their dinner, and they eat under the sukkah. So they invited me. They had a big celebration the first day, and the last Hoshana Rabbah, they had a big celebration too. And I got to speak all week and eat a lot of food too. And so I'm glad that you're cutting back here. It's amazing, and it's a beginning, right? It's a new beginning of the Torah, and so we had communicated with Cal kind of back and forth, and I there must have been some miscommunication. But anyway, we want to talk about new beginnings. What's good for new beginnings? What do we do at the beginning as we start reading the Torah again? I wanted to talk about two passages that you talked on and that you read today, and how they relate to each other. And then we want to talk about Yeshua himself, because he's the beginning of all things too. Genesis 1, from the first five verses that you read, has a great relationship with John chapter 1. There's no coincidence that the Yohanan, the Apostle John, when he begins his gospel, he picks up on the idea of Bereshit, of the beginning. And see the relationship. Genesis begins, in the beginning, God created. Gospel of John, in the beginning was a word. It talks about the creation. It talks about God creating the heavens and the earth. And verse 3 in Genesis 1 talks about God said, Adonai said, let there be light. And there was light. And in John 1, it talks about how God, the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was creating with God, and He was there during creation. And nothing that was created was created without Him. And then Genesis talks about that there be light, and there was light. And in John 1, verse 4 says, life was in Him, and that life was the light of man, and the light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. And so there is a correlation. God's word, God's plan, God is, He knew what He was doing from eternity, and He continues to know what He's doing going on from eternity. He had a plan for Israel, for all humankind, for you and I. And so He shows us this plan. And so there is this new beginning in how Yeshua would come and fulfill all the things that God had planned for Israel and for the rest of the world, for all the nations. In John 1, following on in verses 7, it says, talking about John, Yohanan, the Baptist, he said, he came as a witness to testify about the light, but he was not the light, verse 8. But he came to testify about the light, the true light who gives light to everyone. He comes into the world. So God created light, first of all, and here comes Yeshua as the light of the world. So you see the correlation on this beginning time. And I thought that it would be good also as we begin this new period in the life of a congregation, the life of Israel, as we begin reading the beginning and the basics, I thought it would be good to talk about Yeshua. And I'll touch on some basic stuff that you know, but as I travel around and speaking in congregations and in churches and different kinds of places, I found that there's a lot of people, and no, there's no one here like that, but there in some places a lot of people that are not clear about Yeshua, about who He is, and about what He's done. So I want to they have different beliefs, different ideas. Some are true, some are false, some are incomplete. And I pray that this might help us all to understand who he is. We're always learning, as Rabbi Kahl said, we're always learning. And I hope that you have that attitude of learning. We haven't arrived yet. God is still working with me, I hope, and I know he's still working with you. And he's working with all of us until we come to be like Yeshua. And so some people accept the fact, and I found this a lot too. Some people accept the fact that Yeshua might be the Messiah in their minds, but sometimes he doesn't have anything to do with their life. They accept that as an intellectual fact and as a reality. They come to that conclusion, but it doesn't have any bearing on their spiritual life or their faith. So I think it's good to look at some things, and I want us to look at some ways that people see Yeshua. One of the first ways, some people accept Yeshua as a historical figure. They look at the biblical evidence and they say, okay, he really existed. And you look at the first gospel, the gospel of Matthew, and they look at the genealogy there. And in Matthew 1, historical record of Yeshua, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Some of the testimonies that you will see in that ifoundshalom.com some Jewish believers start by saying, you know, I was taught growing up that the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, it was a Gentile book, and that all it taught was how to get rid of the Jews and talk things against the Jews. And they start reading Matthew, and the first thing they come up with, Yeshua, the Messiah, was the son of David, the son of Abraham. And they discover he was Jewish. And so there is biblical evidence, and the four Gospels have the account of how he lived and what he's done. And there's, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the many witnesses that have seen Yeshua. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, it talks about how he died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to Scripture. He had appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and then he appeared to 500 brothers at one time. And most of them still remain. And then he appeared to James and then to the apostles. And as the last one, he appeared also to me, says Rabbi Shaul. So there is biblical, and there's much more, of course. There's biblical evidence of Yeshua existing as a historical character figure. There's extra-biblical evidence, of course, that Yeshua existed. And Josephus, the first century historian, Jewish historian, mentions Yeshua in many, many different ways. And if you've been to Israel, you've been to Caesarea Maritima, and you saw the stone that they found there. Now the original one is in the Jerusalem Museum, but they have a duplicate there, where in that stone is mentioned Pontius Pilate. And so this historical figure who was the governor when Yeshua was being judged before he was put to death, he was mentioned. And so there is a relationship, though there's historical evidence and other documents that we won't go into. So some people accept the fact that Yeshua was a historical figure. Then some other people accept Yeshua or have the idea that he is a Jewish rabbi. Yeshua himself called himself in John chapter 13, 14, verse 14. He says about himself, so if I, your Lord and teacher and rabbi, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. When he's teaching this lesson of humility, that we should serve one another, as we heard earlier, to be a leader is to be a servant. And so Yeshua addressed himself as a rabbi. His disciples recognize him as a rabbi. In John chapter 11, verse 18, they say, John chapter 11, verse 8, when he's asking, what's going on? And they say, Jesus says, aren't there 12 hours in the day? If anyone, rabbi, they call him, I'm sorry. Chapter 11 of John, verse 8. The disciples said, rabbi, just now the Jews tried to stone you. Are you going there to Jerusalem again? So they addressed him as rabbi. They recognized him as their rabbi. Nicodemus, in that famous passage of John 3, this Jewish rabbi, this Jewish leader, he addressed Yeshua as the rabbi. And so he's recognized. Mary Magdalene in John 20, 16, after Yeshua came to life, when she goes to the tomb in John 20, verse 16, she recognizes him as, because Rabboni, rabbi, which means teacher, it says there. So they recognize him. Even all Israel recognizes unique teaching. He was a different kind of rabbi, not like the ones they had heard before. In Matthew 7, it talks about 7:28. It talks about how the multitudes followed him because he taught with authority, not like other teachers they have heard before, and many other passages. So Yeshua, some people recognize him as a great teacher, as a great rabbi. Some people also recognize Yeshua as a great prophet. Jesus himself in Matthew 13:57, he's talking about himself being a prophet. In 13:57, he is saying to in Nazareth, when he was in Nazareth, he says, a prophet is without honor except in his hometown and his household. So he addressed himself as a prophet. His disciples in Matthew 16, verse 14, when he asked him, what do people say that I am? And he says, some say that you're one of the great prophets. So some people recognize him as a great prophet. Some people recognize him as a miracle worker, who he was. Remember when he was in the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida in Matthew 11, he said he couldn't do many miracles there because the cities didn't have enough faith, but then did many other miracles in other instances. And in Luke 7, I like that passage of Luke 7 when the disciples of John the Baptist went to see Jesus, asking him, are you the one that was to come? Are you the one that we're expecting? And Yeshua responds to them in Luke chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. He says, go tell John, go report and say, tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news. Preach to them, and anyone who is not offended because of me is blessed. So he lists some of the miracles he performed. And so for many people, even today, many people just look to Yeshua for the miracles that he can do in their lives. And I wonder sometimes, Jesus himself said, you know, at the end of his life, you know, where are all the ones that were following me for the meals and for the food and for the miracles? And even his own disciples abandoned him. Because sometimes all we look for is for the blessings of God, but we're not willing to pay the price of following as a disciple of Yeshua. So for some people, he's a miracle worker. And for many, he's the promised Messiah. He is our promised Messiah. It's interesting to look at in Matthew chapter 2, when after Yeshua's birth, and the wise men from the east come looking for him in Jerusalem, and they ask, where is the king of the Jews that was to be born, for we saw his star? And then King Herod, of all people, asked the Jewish leader, he says, he asked the scribes and the priests in Matthew 2, verses 4 and there, he asked, where is he was supposed to be born? Where is the Messiah to be born? And they said, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so they knew, not that they knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but they knew that the Messiah was to be born at that time. The disciples, of course, recognized him as Messiah when he came in John 1, the first few disciples, when they start following him, they call him, we have found the Messiah. I love that. When my father was doing ministry back in Argentina, he had a radio program to reach to the Jewish community that was called I Have Found the Messiah. And so it's based on this in John 1, verses 40 to 42. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah, Mashiach," which means anointed one, and he brought him to Yeshua. And in verse 45, the same thing. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Yeshua, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. We have found the Messiah." So for many people, he is the Messiah, and he is our Messiah. And the famous Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16, when he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So Yeshua is all of these things. Yeshua is all of these things that we've mentioned. He is a great prophet. He is a historical figure. He is the rabbi. He is a great leader. He is a miracle worker. He is a promised Messiah. But he's that and more than that. And I want to say at least three things about Yeshua himself. I want to make sure that people understand, and I know that you do here. But you'd be surprised how many, even today, people that are called followers of Yeshua do not accept the fact that Yeshua is God himself. And we're going to have to say that clearly, because it's a stumbling block to Jews and Gentiles alike. You'd be surprised that we have some in the Messianic movement that are going that way. That they will accept Yeshua as a Messiah, but not as God. And so to say that, you have to get rid of a lot of the New Testament, some of the Old Testament too. And so some people that say that now are saying, well, the Brit Hadashah is actually not the Word of God. It's only a commentary of the Tanakh. And to say that, they also say that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Ruach HaKodesh is not actually biblical. It's an invention of the Gentiles. And so we have to be very careful. That's why I like to share. And I'm praying, I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure there's no one here to that. But for some people, he is not God, and he is. Bible calls Yeshua, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And not only in Matthew 1:23 when the angel spoke to Joseph, but also quoting Isaiah 7:14, "And God shall, this one that's going to be born is going to be Emmanuel, Adonai with us." The word in John 1 that we read is mentioned as the incarnate word of God, not only being the word of God, but being God himself. In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You probably are aware of some of the versions that are around, especially by one sect that's called the Jehovah Witnesses, that in that verse they say, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Excuse me? Yes, that's right. Not the real ones. So you have to be aware of these things, and you give it for granted, but we have a lot of people that do not believe, and they call themselves followers of Yeshua, that they don't call him God. He is a creator, according to John, and according to, not only to John, but in Hebrews chapter 1, some of the first few verses, Hebrews 1, we started on 1, says, "Long ago, I suppose, to the fathers by the prophets at different times in different ways in these last days. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe." Again, Yeshua being God, being creator. And so he is creator. He is God himself. He is, and he has God's glory. He's Shekinah. He is God's glory. In John 1, it says, "And we beheld his Shekinah," the passage that was read before, John 1:14. "We beheld his Shekinah," the Shekinah of the Father. But in Hebrews 1:2, it also says, in Hebrews 1:3, it says, "And he is a radiance of God's Shekinah, God's glory, the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things." So he reflects God's glory, but he is God's glory himself. Yeshua, interesting. We have to be aware, clarify, make sure that we understand that He is uncreated. He is not created. He is God Himself. He has no beginning and no end. He chose at certain time in history, in God's time, chose to take the form of man and come into flesh. But He's always existed, uncreated, as John 1:15 says, and 17:5, and especially the Philippians 2:5-11 passage, beautiful passage, the hymn that talks about the pre-existence of Yeshua, the Messiah, and His incarnation, and then His suffering, and then His death and resurrection, and back to an exalted place in the heavenly places at the right hand of God. So make sure that we understand that He's an uncreated being. He's God Himself. He's called Adonai, and He's called Elohim Himself in John 20, verse 28. Remember after Yeshua's resurrection that He appeared to the disciples, and then there was one there that wasn't there the first time. And in John 20, 28, when Yeshua shows up again to His disciples, Thomas is there. We used to call Doubting Thomas, and I always say, you know, I guess some of us, if we were there, we have a hard time understanding that until we see it. But anyway, so he shows up, and Jesus is there. John 20, 27, then Yeshua said to Thomas, put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Don't be an unbeliever and believe. And Thomas responded to him, in English, my Lord and my God. In Greek it said, Kuriakon Deipnon, my Lord and my God. In Hebrew will be, Adoneinu Eloheinu, my Lord and my God. So He is called Lord and God. So He is the Lord and He is God Himself. Yeshua addressing His disciples in John 8, another tremendous passage. In John 8, when He's talking about Himself, in John 8:58, He says there, Jesus said to them, I assure you, before Abraham was, He didn't say I was, He says I am. And you know what I am is. Okay, that's how we know God, I am. So 8:58 of John, tremendous passage, before Abraham was, I am. Because He is God. And so make sure that we understand that. He is one with God the Father. As John 14:9 says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have known me, you have known the Father. John 14:9-10. The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? So He is one with the Father. And then in John 10:30, He also clarifies that He is one. John 10:30, the Father and I are one. You know, we say the confession of faith. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. He is one. It's interesting that, to me, it's interesting that we have some that call themselves followers of Yeshua that have a hard time understanding Yeshua being God. And God in also came in human form. And yet there are some Jewish theologians that don't believe in Yeshua as Messiah and that are getting closer to believing Yeshua as Messiah and accepting the fact with documentation, with biblical facts, and with extra-biblical Old Testament facts and rabbinical writings saying that the fact that God could become man was part of the rabbinical thought even before Yeshua's time as a possibility. If you don't believe me, read Daniel Boyarim's book, The Jewish Gospels. Daniel Boyarim is not an Orthodox theologian, but this little book called The Jewish Gospels, tremendous. He says there, the possibility of God becoming man, it was part of the thought of rabbinical times. He says the fact of God being one in a multiple person entity, He says that's also part of the thought of before Yeshua's time, and he quotes scripture and he quotes extra biblical writings. Interesting. I have a hard time. How come some people that don't accept him as Messiah and Lord, yet still are closer to thinking that he is God in human form, and yet some of ours that we call ourselves. Anyway, I don't understand. Maybe one day we will. Finally, Yeshua is coming again. He is the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we sang this morning. He died, he rose again. I don't have to tell you the whole story, but just to say this, and I hope you do here, we need to also celebrate the resurrection of Messiah. Whenever you choose to do it. Some people say, well, you know, Easter is not, and okay, celebrate it in first fruits. Make a big deal of it, because it is what makes us different than any other religious and spiritual teaching. Because he didn't remain in the tomb. The tomb is empty. He is alive and well. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is living in you if you have him as your Lord and Savior. Through the Ruach HaKodesh. And that's what we need to proclaim. There is hope. Because if we don't proclaim, like Rabbi Shaul said in Corinthians, if we don't proclaim that he is alive, where is our hope? He says, we're one of the least. We should have pity on ourselves because we're preaching a God that is dead, yet we're not. He is alive. And so we need to emphasize that, to bring hope to people, to know that he is the only one that lives forever and ever. And he's seated at right hand, and he's coming again, and he's coming soon. So, well, my time has flown. I told the rabbi I was going to finish before 12:30, and I lied. I apologize. No, I didn't lie. I didn't intend to talk so much. But just remember, it's important to accept the historical facts, but it's more important to believe and trust. You probably heard this before. But somebody said, a lot of people miss spending eternity with God by 18 inches. You've heard that before? Oh, you never heard. A lot of people, some of you have, a lot of people miss spending eternity with God by 18 inches. And is 18 inches the distance between your head and your heart? You might have him here, but if you don't trust him, if you don't give him your life as your Lord and Savior and Messiah, you're not there yet. You have to trust him. You have to confess your sins. You have to repent. You have to give him your life, your all, and say, like many others have said, that he is our Lord and Messiah and God and King. And he will forgive you, and he will give you a new life, an eternal life, and live forever. And yes, he is our Torah, and yes, we bless the time with the Torah. We're honored to have the Torah, and we follow the Torah. But remember that the living Torah gave his life for you, so that you and I can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And this is the Messiah that we could pray. I hope that you not only have an intellectual knowledge of him, but that you believe and trust him in your heart. And may you join us as we join you in sharing this good news of Messiah at this new beginning of time, that we share that Messiah is alive and well. He's still in the business of saving people, transforming life, bringing people hope and a new beginning for his glory. Let's pray together. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we thank you for your word, your Torah. We thank you for your commandments. We thank you that we can have them and live by them and obey them and follow you and learn how you want us to live through them. Father, we praise you also for Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, our living word, who came to show us your way, to show us yourself, and to show us your love. He died to pay our atonement, which we could never pay, no matter how hard we work. So help us today to study your word, to learn more about you and learn you so that we can share with others. But help us not only to have this intellectual knowledge and learn as much as we can, but also to make sure that we have our trust, our hope, our life turned over to you. That we not only know of you, but that we know you in a personal way. Father, thank you for being our Messiah, Lord, and our Savior. Thank you for this congregation that is light in this place. May many come to know you, Jews and Gentiles alike, until you call us home or you come again. B'Shem Yeshua.